that so far it has started working, and today it is Mark Willoughby. If I may invite you, my brother. Well, I already mentioned your name, but tell us more something about yourself. Who are you?
I've been worshipping here about 12 years.
12 years?
Yes. Becky, my wife now, we got engaged about 12 years ago, and we came here and asked David Graham, we asked him if he would marry us in this church, and we didn't attend the church at that time, and we said, well, there's about 18 months to go, so we want to explore our faith, and we both had a religious upbringing in our primary schools predominantly, and that was a little bit of a latent belief that was within us, and we wanted to explore that a bit, and it was a good time to bring that to fruition. So we said, well, if we worship here regularly for 18 months, would you marry us? So, and there you go, we're still here.
Smashing. Wonderful. And I think that if I may just a little bit take away that, look, the journey started somewhere, then was some sort of a lapse, but eventually it flourished. And today, here you are ministering in the Lord. So never, ever feel disheartened, but by faith, keep sowing the seeds. You never know when and where they will flourish. And what do you do for a living?
I'm a cargo insurance broker.
Cargo. Anybody in shipping business? I've got an insurance broker here.
Yeah.
And what do you do in your free time?
I run around after kids, and I do as I'm told when my wife tells me. And she's the boss, of course. That's the secret of a happy marriage, of course, you know, knowing who the boss is. And I also run a taekwondo club as well, so that keeps me quite happy.
Right. And I hear that some kids from our own church are as well on that.
That's right, yes. Well, Magnus, Alex's son Magnus, has started recently, so he's signed up for his membership, and we'll be giving him his uniform next week. So
wonderful.
He'll be starting, yeah.
Before my final question, just I'm again a little bit taking it away. You mentioned that the secret of happy marriage is that the wife is the boss.
Mm.
Somebody taught me the secret of happy marriage is that one is blind and the other one is dumb.
Well, yeah, I can guess who the dumb one is.
Well, you know that when I meet with you people, and please don't be overly guarding yourself when I speak with you, I do throw question, challenge things, and gently see where you are, what are the passions of your heart. And during these conversations, I have noticed a passion of your heart. And the reading you have chosen, that tells very much that you are going to say something about that. And I think best is that I leave you and tell us about that passion.
Okay, thank you, Napai. Well, I'm following dear David from last month, and I'm not quite as brave as him. I'm reading off a script. The short story I have for you is related to the subject I want to talk about, and that is what is often termed witness. In other words, the calling that all Christians have to represent our Heavenly Father on earth by attesting to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and to spread the word about his life, example, sacrifice, and grace. The Bible lets us know how vital witness is, and that it must be central to everything we do. So we must take this subject very seriously indeed. And let me be clear, I'm not primarily talking about our activities in church here. Most of us will have heard the expression that it's easy to become to be a Christian amongst Christians. No, I'm talking about the commission we all have to think, pray, and plan individually and as a church about outreach into the wider community to bring more people to God. We are living stunted Christian lives if we are pillars of the church in church, but do nothing outside of it. So what are the challenges we face? Well, I think it's useful to start by acknowledging how intimidating the thought of standing up for Christ can be. Firstly, because it seems staggering that we, with all our faults, flaws and limitations, have what can seem an overwhelming responsibility to represent none other than God himself. And secondly, because Christians are a minority group, and we may perceive some of our beliefs as being increasingly at odds with the rest of society. This means we may worry that if we speak up for our Lord, we will look old-fashioned, foolish, or intrusive, and also that we may be ridiculed or shunned. But if these are the factors that daunt us, we should balance these fears by remembering what an astonishing privilege and joy it is to be able to represent God. We can reflect on this sense of privilege to give us courage when we're faced with those moments where it may be easier to stay quiet than to speak up, or to do nothing than to act. Plus, we can draw confidence that when we act in the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit will strengthen us, guide our actions, and give us the words we need. I'm sure that, like me, you've sometimes found yourself speaking with astonishing wisdom in such circumstances. And of course, the words that came to us on those occasions were not ours, but God's. And also, think about this. We all have a ministry. Let's just reflect on that thought for a second. It's not just Napo and Lynn and those who have been ordained. It's not just them that need to reflect on how their ministry is going, nor of how successful it was when it draws towards its conclusion. Every Christian is vital to the worldwide body of Christ, all given specific individual gifts for ministry. We are the silent majority of faithful lay Christians. We should not feel insignificant, as we are the powerhouse of the church. For we are the people who represent our Lord in those situations where perhaps professional Christians don't end up so often, in encounters where we're not always expected to tie a religious line. People may act in a certain way around Napo or Lynn, respectful as they are of their position, but they will not mind their P's and Q's in the same way when they are around us. For many of us, opportunities to witness come with relative frequency, as most of the people we meet outside of the church environment are not practicing Christians. The specific experience I wanted to share with you is just a small example of the kind of dilemmas I've been describing, and how positively things can turn out if we do stand up for God. The story involves a work colleague of mine called John. Now, whilst John was not hostile towards religious belief, he had absolutely no faith himself and was not averse to having a friendly joke about my views. Well, about 4 or 5 months ago, John was diagnosed with cancer, and of course, he went straight on my personal prayer list. And I wondered, should I tell him I was praying for him or keep quiet? So on the day he was due to leave work to begin his treatment, I gave John my best wishes and found myself saying I would continue to pray for him. And he said to me in a friendly but serious way, I prefer to rely on my own efforts. To which I replied, I know you do, but I'll be doing it anyway. When his first course of treatment had finished, I had a phone call from John. He said the treatment had gone well and the results were as positive as they could be at that stage. And he said he'd specifically phoned me to thank me for my prayers. Plus, his wife was very keen to let me have her personal thanks as well. John had obviously reflected on what happened to him, and if this God he had never given much thought to might be helping him. So the small seed that was sown bore some fruit. It may not develop into a small tree, into a full tree, but with continuing prayer, it stands more chance of doing so than if the seed had never been sown in the first place. And it's a nice example of how witness can be effective and of how the Holy Spirit can open up seemingly closed minds. So how do we prepare ourselves to be effective witnesses when opportunities arise? Well, I think the way we live is surely the best witness to the truth of what we believe. No one will say to us, I want something of what you have, unless they see the effects of that something in our lives. If we moan, gossip, swear, have a negative attitude or closed minds, we do tremendous damage, not just to ourselves, but to God's mission, as we are his ambassadors. Everything we do bears witness to the truth about who we are and what we really believe, whether we mean it to or not. Wasn't it Francis of Assisi who said, "Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words." We also need to ensure we are spiritually fit. We need to attend church, study the scriptures, and constantly talk and reflect about whether we are doing the right thing and moving in the right direction. And above all, of course, we need to pray, pray, pray without ceasing. And finally, what about practical considerations for us here at St Mary's? Surely we need a dual focus. Firstly, in making sure that our church is in tune with the needs of all of the people of Hayes, so that when new people do come, they immediately feel comfortable and recognise that their needs will be met. And secondly, in attracting those people in the first place through effective outreach. I'm here predominantly to talk about outreach, so I will not dwell on what may be needed in church, but I would like us all to think and pray about that. And concerning outreach, obviously we need to consider what we do as a church, so what follows are just some personal thoughts on what some of the possibilities might be, over and above what we do already, of course. We could have prayer walks around Hayes, or an outreach committee. What about setting up more home study groups for people at different stages of their faith journey? Perhaps we need to give greater consideration towards recruitment when planning church events, and that this should always be on the agenda. What about offering our services in station approach? I have a friend whose church went to their local train station on Ash Wednesday and gave out leaflets explaining the true meaning of Lent and offering to sign commuters with the cross. She said that she was nervous about it and that it was challenging, but ultimately very successful and personally rewarding. So maybe there's a good lesson there about how we can be pleasantly surprised if we come out of our comfort zones and thus both serve the Lord and grow as people as well. I would like to end with a prayer, but before I do, I'd just like to thank NAPO for giving me the opportunity to talk to you and to you all for listening. I hope I've not gone on too much, and that this has provided useful food for thought. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for my colleague John and his family and all those who are ill or supporting a loved one who is. And we pray for the spiritual health of all people, but especially for our church family, who are ambassadors on earth with our special roles to perform. May you give us courage and wisdom, energy and enthusiasm. May you open our minds to new innovations and ideas inside and outside of church, and help us to see what is important and what is not, as we seek to safeguard the future of St Mary's and of the wider church in general. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, thank you very much, Mark, for that. Many challenging things you have said.